First Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2. It's where we left off yesterday. We was breaking into or going into chapter 2 of Timothy. And last week we touched on some things about the primary focus of a local assembly is to preach the gospel, the grace for the edification of the church members. When we come together here, we preach and teach to edify one another, okay, to build each other up so we'll be able to go outside these doors and be able to tell the people what you know. Now, grant you, can you learn sitting at home?
Sure.
You can. Can you learn driving down the highway? Yeah, you can learn. You can learn in your own private settings with the Bible, the Word of God. You have it in your possessions. You can the Holy Spirit's inside of you. It can teach you. You can do it. But when you come together locally and corporately, that's what this is all about, to be edify one another and build each other up and be a witness in this community. And that's what we looked at some things last night. And so Paul charges Timothy and verses 17 through 18, chapter 1, that he might war us a good warfare and determine the will of God that for your life and the details of the choices. All the doctrine that you have inside of you, all the words of God, all the sound doctrine is inside of you is one thing. Then you have some choices on the outside of that. Okay? And you would want your choices to be lined up with who you are in Christ. Amen? I think we all do that. Every one of us want to make the right choices and the right decisions and everything from giving to eating, from living to driving. We always want to make good choices because, I've learned over the years, people watch you. You know that? People, especially when they find out you're a Christian, and then they find out that, they don't believe the way I believe, and they watch you, and they want to see you stumble, and you bring somebody new into the doctrine, and all their friends are like, aha, he used to do this in his life, or he used to do that. I'm waiting for him to stumble. Well, those choices, you can say, no, I'm not doing that. I believe wholeheartedly that you have the power inside of you right now not to sin anymore. Do you agree or disagree?
Disagree.
You disagree?
Mm-hmm.
Why? That's before what?
Well, that's before the grace period. But still, we're still going to sin. That's why we have grace.
But you still have the power not to do that.
We have the power to say, I'm not going to do that sin. I'm not going to do
that. That's what, okay.
Oh, I'm going to do that one.
No, you don't have to do that. You just made a choice.
No.
See? So, yeah, that's what you just said.
Yeah, but
I can honestly... Go ahead.
There's nobody in this world that is not a sinner, that doesn't commit a sin every day, every other day, once a week, once a month. They are sinners, and they cannot stop that totally. Billy Graham, if he doesn't get to heaven, I don't have a chance.
I'm not saying, but
he's a sinner.
But we all are, but we're saved in the fact that Christ Jesus died for us. But if you got the doctrine from you, if you never listen to any one word of Paul, then you don't have the doctrine from you. Because Paul was telling Timothy, he's charging Timothy, and this is what we're doing right now, he's charging Timothy the fact that you don't have to do this, but these days are coming. So you make the choices. I don't have to... If I want to speak evil of my wife, okay, that's a choice. Do I have to do that?
Well, okay. I'll prove my point, I think. You've gone over the speed limit with your truck. You've admitted that.
Okay? Guilty.
Guilty. And we're in the grace period, and you follow the Pauline.
Right.
Okay. You're still a sinner. And you're still going to commit sin. And that's a minor sin to me.
I understand that, but you don't have to do that. But you don't have to do that. I don't have to break that speed limit.
What's the difference in focusing on who you are in the flesh and who you are in Christ? And I think what you're saying is, in Christ, we have the ability not to sin. The problem is, we're surrounded by the
flesh,
who we subject to more than we like.
Absolutely.
We have the power not to.
You have the Holy Ghost inside of you, the same Holy Ghost that raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
Are you saying that we have the power not to ever sin again?
You do. You have that choice. You really do. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, that's between you and God and the fence post. But I'm...
Have you known anybody in your life so far that turned your life over to Christ and never sinned again?
No. You're looking at somebody that has the power not to do that. I know in who I am in Christ Jesus, I do not have to do those things. But I make those choices. I make those choices to break that speed limit. I make those choices to fudge on not doing what my wife says. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? But you're right. In Christ Jesus, you have the power not to do that. And whether you believe it or not, that's between you, like I said, you and God.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But aren't you immediately convicted of it too?
That's where the Holy Spirit is inside of you. I know the minute that I think something wrong with my son or my family or something like that, I know that there's a right way to say it and there's a wrong way to say it. Remember months ago when we talked about of blowing up and clamming up? It's good sometimes just go ahead and blow up. You know, that's what I do sometimes. You know, my wife and I was talking about, oh, people says, Edward, there's no way that you can have a loud word in you. You know, I just don't see Edward blowing up. Yeah, Edward blows up. And what I do sometimes, I blow up, keep from clamming up. Because when you clam up, you get all that stuff in you, and next thing you know, it just... You know what I'm talking about. We went over those things. So look, and the fact that you make choices, what's inside of you. If you don't have the sound doctrine inside of you, you won't know whether that's right or wrong, in a way. You know what I mean? The choices that I'm making may think, well, you know, that's not a bad choice. I'm still saved. I'm still going to go ahead and do this and do that.
The
choice is the free will that you have in Christ Jesus. He never takes that away from you. If you want to go out here and sin today, you know, the Word of God, if it's inside of you, it chastises you. We have more than luxury, but Jesus Christ, Lord God, chastised Israel's, didn't He? If you do this, you get this, but if you don't, I'm spanking you like little children. You know, and He taught them, like this, little children. That's a constant reminder. Did they sin? Yeah. Over and over and over. So we know what we can do in the flesh. I don't have to be reminded that I'm a sinner. You know, but in God's eyes, I'm a saint of the Most High God. Okay? And I do not have... Well, I don't want to keep beating this to death, but I do not have to sin if I don't... I've got the power not to by the choices. And when like I said, once I do, guess what? Oh my, did I just do that? You know, that. And if I do my wife or family wrong, I don't run to God and say, God, forgive me. You know, I look at my wife and say, will you forgive me? You know, and she says, yes. You know, yeah, you know, yeah. And it hurts too. But look, in 2 Timothy 2, chapter 1, look. But we looked at some things last night. Only those things which are biblical based on sound doctrine are inside of you. See, if you don't have that inside of you, you can't make the decisions and choices that you should want to in Christ Jesus. You know? And this is what the part of the ambassadorship is. Knowing who you are here right in the nasty now and now. You know, you hear people talk about the sweet by and by all the time, don't you? You know, waiting for that. That's my hope. But what about now? What about in this present evil world? You know, you're here. You have an ambassadorship to do what you need to do. We have an ambassador to bring our kids up in the admonition of the Lord, you know, or be even with each other in the grace message. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. Yes.
Okay, so then when it says that sin has no dominion over you, is that because Christ indwells you, and that's why to know when you do something wrong?
That's the only reason I can figure out the fact that I know what I'm doing wrong, because I know what the doctrine teaches me inside of me. And you're right. You're dead to sin in chapter 6, Romans. So what good is it?
And it's because of the Holy Spirit that sin doesn't have a dominion over you, because the Holy Spirit is more powerful than the sin around you.
And it's through the work of this at the cross, at the death, burial, and resurrection. That's why when we're going to get ready to look at some things right now that may help you or may hopefully it helps you. But the thing is, like the first five chapters, over and over and over, the first five chapters of Romans, what does it deal with? The first five chapters of Romans, the first book of doctrine, deals with what? Okay. The first five chapters of Romans deals with justification. You're justified in the sight of God. You never have to bring it back up ever again. Okay? Romans chapter 6 deals with sin. Romans chapter 7 deals with what? The law. You're dead to it. Romans chapter 8 deals with the flesh. Okay? See where I'm going with this? And you understand that doctrinal pattern, and that's what we went through almost a year and a half to 2 years here, building our church up on the book of Romans doctrine. Then we move from there to the book of Ephesians, where you understand advanced mystery truths, where you're at in the heavenly places, and your position and state in Christ Jesus. My state is where? My standing is where? In Christ Jesus, or on this earth. See, I know what I am in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now we're looking at something even more, and as a bastardship of who you are here, to be able to build you up even stronger, so you have that flag and that sword and a helmet and all that stuff, and walk out here. You know? And so people can see you and say, hey, I know how you once were, but you're walking a different step over here. Why is that? And then you'd be able to tell them, this is why I have no power in myself. You know, I tell people I serve with on the school boards and stuff. I said, you know, we was talking about, I can't do this. I can't do this. I said, you know something? You're right. You can't do this, and neither can I. But we corporately can in Christ Jesus. And that's what we do here. We fly one flag. Chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayer, interception, and giving of thanks be made for who? All man. This is a godly edification through sound doctrine. I exhort, therefore, how the local assembly's responsibilities are laid out in the first eight verses. It really has to do with men. And in the 9 through 15, it's for women. So this is how it's exhorting us to how to do some things. Our first responsibility, if you go think about it, as my responsibility when I stand up here, when I prayed, when we took prayer request, and I prayed, it's like praying out in public, isn't it? We should know automatically in a way that what were you going to pray for. I think all week about you guys. Some good things, not bad things. But I think of you. I really do. I might not call you or email you on a daily basis or whatever, but I do think of you. I think of who you are in Christ. I think of what you mean to Kent and Grace Fellowship. And I can sit up here and automatically think, not a repetitious prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be our name, but I can pray on certain things, and each one of you may be able to pick up on what I'm saying. You know. But look, it's a pray. Which should be done by men, by the way, if you don't mind, unless you got a women's group, and then they can do that. Men should lead the congregation in prayer in order to instruct them on how to pray without formalization or memorizing. I call on some of you men all the time. You know, some of you, I don't say tremble or whatever, but you're like, oh, you know, I've been there. Don't get me wrong. You know, I've been there in the back, like, oh, my, I hope they don't call on Ed to pray. You know, I think, listen. When I first come to some understanding of the truth, my wife would attest, I sit in the back on things. You know? And I gradually allowed, I'm a witness for how the doctrine can work in your life. Our marriage is a witness of doctrine can work in your life. Okay? And you allow the doctrine to work on you, and you get bolder and stronger, okay? You know? And then you get yourself surrounded with people that's like-minded, that studies the same way, that uses the same version, and you build up and you become strong. And verse 2 says, for kings and for all that are in who? Authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honestly. Who's we there? Or all those in, and those in authority. You know, we went out to eat a little while after that football game, and the guy sitting across from me, he goes, "Well, you're a pastor." I said, "No, I'm a bishop now." Or I'm a bishop. He goes, "Oh, you're a bishop now." You know, he thought I was graduating. Yeah, I'm graduating up. You know, to his eyes, that's authority. Because he came out of the Catholic Church, see? You know, and that's where, that's a lot of things, you know, yeah, believe it or not, you know, some of you are rolling your eyes like, "Huh, that's not," but think about it. That's where education comes in. We teach people about right division, don't we? 2 Timothy 2:15. You know, that's an educational process that you have to teach somebody that their mind has been doctrinized on some things. It's rough, isn't it? You know, but once they understand the Word of God and they start building themselves up and trusting in the Word and not man, when you talk about bishops, they don't make, "Where's your funny little hat at, Ed?" You know, I had grace preachers mention that, and it kind of hurt me. You know, like, you know, "Are you going to start wearing a little hat?" You know, and that just ignorance. That's all it is. You know, and, you know, we talk about wearing a robe. We talk about wearing a collar around backwards. You know, we talk about this collar. You know, nobody talks about this one. But, you know, it's the same. But look, all men are to be prayed for because our gospel is a, what kind of message?
Which chapter?
We're in chapter 1, excuse me, chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We pray. All men are to be prayed for because our gospel is a all man's message. Follow me? That's why you pray for all men. A message from God, which God would have all men to know and trust, does it not? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says to have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This gospel now, but Paul has proclaimed and has it in the Word of God, it's an all person's gospel. You know, Jew, Gentile, bond free, male, female, it doesn't matter. Right? Do we believe that or not?
Amen.
Now, was Israel's message an all gospel? But all people could have been saved. Could they not? In times past. They had it. Yeah, they had to fall in that.
They don't know about the saved past tense. They could have been in a position to be saved.
Yeah, they could have been and become a part of Israel to be in that program. Yes, that's exactly what you call it.
You could read instead of the curse, you could get the blessing by you know, doing good for the church, for Israel.
Example: Cornelius. Prime example.
He was not a proselyte, but he gave alms.
That's right. He blessed Israel, so they blessed him. Think about the guy, what gets me when those blessings and stuff, is the guy, I think it's Acts chapter 3. There's a centurion that paid much alms. Okay. Lord Jesus Christ talks about centurions. Think about the guy, the beggar. Okay. What gets me on that one for instance thing, Peter says, "Silver or gold have I none." You know that part? You know that man didn't ask to be healed? Have y'all ever thought about that? He asked for what? Money. Yeah. You know? But he got healed. You know, so I know I'm over here with this a little bit, but think about some things when you really think about who the Israelites went to and who they didn't go to. You know, and this message to me, Israel's past message. If you believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you was in that program. You know, you got the blessings, and that's what Israel's got. They got earthly blessings as long as they kept doing what they was told. But look, there are certain men to pray for that were singled out, kings that are and those who are in authority. That's what that verse said, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This refers back to, does Romans chapter 13 bring a mindful for anybody? Pray for all those in authority. You know, there's people above us, whether we like them or not. You know what I mean?
You're always in your job. That's where you wonder sometimes whether you're better.
So, yeah, that's another thing about voting and stuff. You know, I don't want to say too much, but, you know, the thing is, I heard a statement that some lady or man made in 1940 said, if your vote really counted, they wouldn't allow it. And you think about that statement for a minute. If it really counted, they wouldn't allow it. Because what other things do not let you make a decision on? You know? So I'm thinking, okay, ooh, ah. But guess what I got to do? Pray. Well, she said vote. But yeah, you can do it anyway. But the thing is, I still got to pray. Whether you like those people in authority or not, you still lift them up to God that they make, hopefully they make the right decisions. We know they don't. But the thing is, you still got to lift them up instead of curse them or all that stuff. This refers back to Romans chapter 13. You remember the God, the fourth institution of God's divine or divine institution? Let me back it up. You remember the fourth one, what it is? Mm-hmm. Human government. You remember the first one? God ordained Himself, ordained four divine institutions to set the earth up, and everybody's supposed to follow. First one is volition. Remember this? Free will. God has never violated your free will on anything. That's why Adam. He never told Adam, no, you cannot eat this. Well, he told him not to, but Adam disobeyed. The second one is marriage. God ordained marriage of a man and woman. Okay? Then He ordained a family. And stability and stuff in the earth. The next thing He did is human government. He ordained human government, people. But who corrupted it?
Man.
Man and or who's the God of this world? Satan's corrupted it. So this is a part, when it says kings and for all those who are in authority, this is part of God's ordained human government out there. You know, we look at, start at Noah when he set all that up. But look, remember the amount of Bible doctrine in a nation. Let me ask you this. If United States government had the sound doctrine that you've been taught here today and believe, would it determine the set a course of the nation? Could you really tell the difference on how to give and what not to give and who to support and not what to support? Hey, I made a remark on Facebook about what is so happy about dressing kids up and sending them out to beg? You know what I'm talking about, Halloween? Okay. What's so happy about it? And, you know, I'm getting, and my sister says, treats. You know, my niece said, candy. You know, and you know, you can give me candy 365 days a year. I love candy. Okay? And then, you know, one of our friends out in New York, she goes, I never thought about that, Edward. You know, thinking you do, you teach them to beg. That's the trick. I didn't think about that. Maybe I'll have to do that when I come back. So another friend of ours in New York, she goes, and now Edward, you're just getting too old like me. You know, she goes, I remember when you was begging. You know, like, I said, I know. I said, but it still don't make it right. And I said, and the churches are counterfeiting Halloween with begging. Trunk or treat? You see those signs? You bring something to put in the trunk, and guess what you get? And it's okay to dress up like a little lamb and shepherd, though. They're counterfeiting Halloween. I said, just wait to Satan Claus, and if you want to close your ears, you can close this. But Satan Claus, guess what? We take our children to a guy that's dressed up in a costume, and guess what they do again?
Santa is
Satan. That's right. That's right. He's a counterfeit. Yep. And
it's not the birth of Christ. You know, a lot of people think that Christmas is the day Christ was born. It's far from it.
But
that's a Catholic thing. Christmas, a high mass for Christ.
That's right. And but what I'm getting at is, if you want to do Halloween, if you want to do Christmas, if you want to do Easter, if you want, hey, enjoy them. You know who you are in Christ, but know that it's not the right thing. If you're going to educate our kids, we was talking about that yesterday. Josh hadn't been trick-or-treating, if you will, till he was that big.
Since he was five.
5 years old. Well, I guess you could still do this if I but anyway, you know what I'm talking about? We don't. We just take our and that, believe me, we have fought that battle for 15, 18 years, okay, over and over. But if you don't, and at the end of my comment, I said, that's okay. I'm going to become a communist. You know that all the begging, you don't have to beg; it's given to you. You know what I mean? And I put beside just joking, of course, you know. But anyway, the thing is, the human government is responsible. If this nation had Bible-sound doctrine in it, it would set the course. If you have Bible-sound doctrine of Pauline truths inside it, don't it make a difference in your life? Many of you told me that personally. You know, as a testimony, that this message has changed your life. Praise God, hallelujah. It's not Ed change your life. You follow Ed and Ed take you down the road doing 65, 80 mile an hour and you're going to get a ticket, Walt. You know, and guess what you're going to do? I was following him. I'm blaming him. But that's where the godly sorrow and the worldly sorrow falls in a place. But the thing is, pray that we lead a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and honesty. This is how you live. This is what it said, did it not? And what we may lead, verse 2, a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and what? Honesty. That's what we pray that we do. Okay? And chapter 2, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. God, our Savior, says it is good in His what? Sight. Because he would have all to be saved and come to knowledge of truth. Okay? You got that? Verse 4, right? Okay? There's two points and related to prayer in this message, and it's what I was going to talk about in the next few minutes about prayer. You pray to be saved. Okay? That's evangelists. Then you pray to know. That's edification. Okay, who have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Don't we want as much as we, you know, you want, if you got to Chuck before he had died, chances are you would have said, Chuck, listen to me. Do you know where you're going to go? I need to know. Okay, you'd have gave him the gospel. Okay, it's too late to pray for him now. I know there's religious systems out there that prays for the dead, don't they? They won't. You keep paying penance or whatever it is, you know.
You give money for masses and they pray for the masses.
And they probably set a 20-year program on that person, don't they? I get what is it called when you sell a premium? They get, you know, yeah, they get commissions off those premiums. Look, and how to pray to accomplish God's will to all men to be saved is evangelism. Pray for Bob that he'll go out here and be a strong witness. Pray for Leon when he goes out in the neighborhood that he'll be a strong witness. Pray for our sisters and our young kids that they'll be strong in the Lord and evangelism. Do you know that there's not one verse in the New Testament where Paul prays for a sinner? Are y'all familiar with that? That's why I keep saying that when you come to Paul's gospel, you are saved. It is our responsibility to what? Edify and give a clear gospel presentation from the Word of God to get them saved. And when you come to Paul's epistles, you're saved. Follow me? You're not a lost man. Listen, men, we've been in these ditches and we've been in these churches and stuff, and the fact that, hey, come and listen to my preacher. We didn't care who they was. We didn't worry about if they were saved or not. We said, come and listen to my preacher. We get them in the church and then we get them what? Saved. We should get them saved and then get them in the church. And you get them saved by what? The Word of God. Go with me. Matthew talks about praying for the leadership. Matthew 9, Jesus tells the disciples, pray for you guys that you're going out here in the world. Colossians chapter 4 and get Ephesians chapter 6. Colossians 4, Colossians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same thing, same with what? Thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in what? Bond. You pray for the opportunity to what?
Speak
or witness. Okay? That's what I... When y'all lift me up in prayer, I'm hoping that's what you say, Ed. I'm praying that you remain bold. You know what I mean? I'm praying that you continue to lead us in the right way. And I, same as I pray to you guys, I pray that you be strong in the witness. I pray that the doctrine of God gets inside of you and that you be bold. Many of you are. I hear you coming in with prayer requests and stuff, talking about sisters-in-laws and brothers-in-laws and sisters and stuff that they just don't understand, and they ask me not to even come around no more. That's hard, isn't it? You know, it really is when you lose family members. But you know what? That's why you can tell Jesus anything, because He knows what you're going through. And He says, put it on my shoulder. And you know what that does when I put it on His shoulder? It allows me to go over here and continue the work. I don't get bogged down on some of these things. Follow me? Okay, look. Then Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therefore I speak boldly as I ought to speak. Pray for encouragement to speak boldly. You know, this is good. You know, yeah. That's what I'm going to be praying for. And then pray for the clarity of the message. Clear and understanding to the hearer. Then we go over that in the first several lessons. We got to have a clear gospel. You got to have a clear presentation. We don't want to water it down. We don't want to sugarcoat it, if you will. You know, we don't want to hook and bait them. You know, that type of thing. But Romans chapter 15, and we're getting ready to close on this. Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 32. Excuse me, 30. Verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for who? For me. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. That I may come unto you with the joy of, by the will of God, and may with you be what? Refreshed. See what he's praying for? You know, he's not praying for, you know, he's not asking for too much, is he? Just, you know, he really isn't. He's not asking the driveway to be paved. He's not asking for a church bus. I'm joking, guys. He's praying that the clear and understanding to the hearer, that when he goes out there, pray that when I go in Jerusalem, pray that when you go in the Niles, pray that when you go into Canton and Massillon and those areas, Stark County, that you'll be bold, that you'll say the right things. And when you do that, guess what? The Word of God is go to 2 Thessalonians and get Philippians. We've got two more, and we're out of here. Two more verses. Philippians and Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Do you not have free course of the gospel? Don't you have free course of the doctrine? You know, and he's asking, pray that I may have free course, that you can continue to go out there. That's a good prayer, but he's not praying for a lost person. Follow me? You know what I'm saying?
Witness.
That's a good prayer for all of us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What is that this? Look in verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is
preached.
And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. That this is Christ is preached, the Word of God. You know, Paul's message was Christ crucified. That's what he taught. And the Corinthians especially. That's the message. That's the gospel. Christ crucified. This going out as a gospel and it influences the world. Just think about that. You coming out of your mouth, Christ crucified, Christ is preached. And Paul knew that the power of God is the gospel and he was not ashamed. Are you ashamed today? Many of us sit here and say, nope, not me. If I get the opportunity, I'm going to share whatever I got. What about the times you don't have the opportunity? That you're at a football field and mud up to your knees, wallowing in the mar. You know? What about when you go to the football game, Massel McKinley and all that? Or I guess I was corrected by some McKinley people. It's McKinley Massel game.
No, it's not.
And I thought, here it's Massel McKinley. You know, so you know, what about those things? Yeah. I know, I've been there. You know, I go right there and rub elbows with them and eat with them and carry on with them. And then, oh, by the way, do you know Jesus Christ? After, you know, our belly's full or, you know, we won the ball game or whatever. But look, Paul knew the power of the gospel and he's not ashamed. For all men to be saved, then we must pray for, one, opportunities. Pray that I may go here. Pray that you have this opportunity. Two, boldness and courage. Don't we want to be bold? You know, you can be bold in Jesus Christ. Whether you want to believe or not, you have boldness. He's with you. Poor Paul. You know, we say poor Paul, but he's in heaven right now, you know, with God Almighty. He's seated in heavenly places. And think about this. Out of all those churches, all have forsaken. All of Asia has forsaken me. That's hard. And we worry about couple of loved ones, you know, not accepting this, you know, message. And we turn and look at our loved ones here. You know what I mean? Think about that. Think about the one who do know this message and encourage them to be bold and courageous. And number three is clarity. Pray that that message comes out of your mouth with clarity. And you know it. You know you do. You know, be bold in that. This means that you are to pray for the saints to function properly according to who God has made them in Christ. Got that?
You know what? It seems to me like the three things that you're touching on to pray for, whether we pray for them or not, they're already there. Every time you get within 3 feet of a person, you have an opportunity. Every salesperson in the world knows there's a 3-foot one. You know, you can present your position to them. But when you think about those things, if you're praying for opportunity and boldness and clarity, then that means you're thinking about those things. You're preparing your mind for those things. you're educating yourself on those things so that you're not prepared, so that you're prepared when you do get within 3 feet of another person. So it's not that the prayer is going to change, it's the prayer is what makes your mind on that track all the time, that those are the things you're thinking about. So you're spending time in those things, so that, because half of our problem is when we go to talk to somebody is we don't want to look like a fool.
Yeah.
We don't want to look like we don't know what we're talking about.
And that's the prayer that I'll pray for you guys when you leave here, that you maybe speak boldly, that you know what to say, and you prepare your mind. You know, we think prayer is always talking to God. It's all, you know, it's God relaying back to us through the Word and all, you know. But when we talk, it's communication. You know, how are you communicating yourself? You know what I mean? It's just, we can do that. Yes, sir.
A guy said this to me. At the post office in Sun High, we got to with him. I witnessed to him. He said, you know, pastor said this once to me. He said that you're so godly that you're no earthly good. And I thought about it. And to me, I thought that was a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I thought it was a compliment because I was trying to share something with him. But after it was all over, I realized that he was still on milk, baby food. He couldn't take it in what I was trying to give him. You know what I mean? And I committed to Carlson because I gave him too much. You know what I mean? And even if I took him script by script, well, I don't care what you say. Well, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke says this here.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And yep.
He believed in the prosperity message. Well, I'm going to get mine right here. I'm getting mine now. I don't know about you. I'm getting mine right here. I'm not gonna wait till I get to heaven again. I'm getting mine right here. And
I just, wow.
And I felt really bad because we talked for about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt really bad. But as after I walked away, I said, you know something? I shouldn't feel guilty for sharing.
No, no, no. And I think a lot of times
I believe it or I don't believe what I say I believe.
And that's where the prayer and the boldness and the courage that say this, either doctrine's going to work in you, and so it can work out of you, and you will say the right things. You may not think you will. Who puts that doubt in your mind? Satan or yourself.
Have you been talking to a person at the same time you're talking to your friend?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying to, Lord, give me the, what you call it?
While they're talking, you're saying, Lord, you know, work in my mind. Give me the right things.
I'm working with a man who's almost 70 years old, redoing this concession stand. And you spend 4 weeks with a person and you're a Christian. You can't help it. It's just what's in you. So we start talking about the Bible. And he said to me, I told my wife to bury me in my boots because I want to be able to run as fast as I can. And then he said to me, I heard a preacher once, it just made a lot of sense, and he went through this whole analogy of this man dying, going to heaven, and he starts passing these mansions, and the longer they walk, the smaller they get, and he gets to his little house, and it's a shack, and he said, how come I can't have one of those mansions? He said, what you did on earth determines what you get in heaven, and it takes a lot of courage for a young person to look at a 70-year-old man, and I said, that's a lie from the pits of hell. That is a lie, and you can't be good enough to make it there. And it's all about Christ dying for your sins. And he totally did not know what he just went back to work. I could have just said, you know what? That's not, you know, I could have him all around, but it's a lie. I don't want him. And I looked at my son. I came home and I said, Merle's on his way to hell. He's going to hell. If he doesn't understand Christ died for his sins, he cannot work his way to heaven. It's hard to get to know somebody and really like their personality and know. And I got till Monday with him, and come Monday, old Sherry's going to have to say one more time, Merle, you better get right with the Lord, and it ain't about you, it's about him. So you guys can pray for my conversation with Merle on Monday, because it's going to have to happen.
We've got a little pamphlet over here that would suit that perfectly.
Yeah, you're right. Give him something to read to.
Yeah, just
to,
I mean, it's very simple. It's how will I get to heaven, or answer these 10 questions, and then it goes very simple.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to give him some.
I wanted to give him a track. You know what he said? I don't need a Bible track. He says, I got this, and I said, well, hey, you got to read it.
That's right. You got to study.
Yep. You know what I mean?
We have to pray for diligence too, because if you're, you know, if you're not in it every day and you're not studying it and you're not, then you can't be prepared.
That's where the renewal. But you know, I know that you know enough to share and determine if somebody's going to heaven or hell. You know, I know you do. I mean, I've watched you and I'm, you know, and all that stuff. Same as me. Sometimes I know, I'm waiting on that opportunity, as Leon was talking about, possibly praying. But I wait for that opportunity because you don't want to shut them down. But at the same time, you the clarity and the gospel, you got to be truthful, and it hurts. Faithful are wounds of a friend. You know, it's hard when, you know, you got to be truthful to people. You really do. That's our responsibility. Yes, sir.
You talked, kind of taking from what you just said, not to pick on Walt, but you know, I think I heard him say something earlier about, well, Billy Graham's not going to make it to heaven, neither am I, or something. But, you know, as good a man that most people think Billy Graham is, he's been preaching the wrong message for years and years and years, and now that he's getting older and wrote his own Bible and did all kinds of things, I can't read his heart, but I tell you that he hasn't taught properly the rightly divided word of the Bible.
It will stand ashamed.
He never necessarily used the right Bible in doing so. And he's getting older now, and he's beginning to worry about his own eternal salvation.
You can hear his message changing,
his
can't
message
you?
His message is changing at old age.
Same as Jimmy Swaggart.
And Jimmy Swaggart doesn't know where he's going, but he's changed.
He's changed. I listened to him. I mean, he's the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross.
He's using tongues and all kinds of stuff. And he's trying to do it all through music now because...
But you know something? We'll close with this. We know that you're responsible for yourself. Canton Grace Fellowship is responsible for the sound doctrine through Pauline dispensational truths out of the King James Bible. That's my responsibility. But you're going to stand in front of God Almighty yourself. And with that being in mind, knowing, standing ashamed, I believe it's like fear. You know, I don't want to stand in shame. Ask my son if he stands in front of shame in front of me. He don't want to do that. You avoid it. And that's what people's doing. They're avoiding this. But we you're responsible for your salvation. You're not responsible for Jan's. She's responsible for, but we are responsible as a whole in getting the gospel message out. And that's where we need to be. And whether you write the Billy Grahams or the Swaggarts or Chuck Swindolls and all that stuff, you can write them till you're blue in the face. You really can.
This one. The other, when she had her party the other night and they were having the discussion, are you a Christian? And the one little girl says, well, what's a Christian? Tell them what you responded. I'm putting her on the spot.
I know you are.
She responded, she goes, that Christ died, was buried, and rose again.
Gave him the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen.
My one friend was talking about that, and that's
it was just cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Father,
we do thank you for the day, and we thank you for the things you've given us. And as we leave here today, let's be mindful of who we are in Christ and the boldness that you give us through the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.